You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis met on Tuesday with Metropolitan Hilarion, head of the Department of External Church Relations of the Russian Orthodox Church. Later this evening, a concert for peace in honour of Pope Francis will be offered by the Russian Orthodox Church with music sung by a young Russian opera singer, Svetlana Kazian, at the auditorium in Via della Conciliazione. The Pope's meeting with Metropolitan Hilarion comes as the Archbishop of Milan, Cardinal Angelo Scola, is in Moscow meeting with the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill. Exploring Orthodox spirituality and promoting reconciliation between Catholics and Orthodox is also the focus of life at a Benedictine monastery in Belgium, commonly known as Chevtogne Abbey. Founded in the 1920s, the monastery holds both Latin and Eastern Rite services every day and runs the world's oldest ecumenical journal entitled Irenicon. During my recent visit to Busan, South Korea, for the World Council of Churches 10th Assembly, I caught up with the editor of the journal, Father Thaddeus Barnas.
You know, in the 1920s, there were some Belgian monks who were deeply impressed by two things. On the one hand, by the quality of the faith and life of the church of the Russian Orthodox emigres, with that wonderful unity that we see amongst the Orthodox of dogma, of, I should have mentioned the Bible in the first place, liturgy, spirituality, it all fits together magnificently. And on the other hand, they were impressed by what the Protestants and the Anglicans and the Orthodox were doing with faith and order and life and work. And they decided to form a prayer community. It goes back to the 20s. We weren't very well understood in the first years, but since the war, of course, we're no longer a danger to anyone. We have two churches, one in which we celebrate the monastic worship according to the Western tradition, and one that's a delicate thing. We've borrowed the Russian Orthodox way of serving in order to understand prayer life, the life of confessing the Christian faith of the Orthodox.
And what role do you see it playing today in the search for Christian unity? What role perhaps can the monastery have in helping others share this richness that you've been discovering over the years?
The first thing has to be prayer. But let me talk about the reason why I'm here. We've had a man from our monastery, there are only men there, at nearly all of the assemblies. I think there are only three that we've missed. This is my third assembly. You know, we publish a journal since 1926, which is the oldest surviving Catholic review on ecumenical questions, in French. And one of the things that's rather original with it, and I'm very attached to it, is that we give as full a documentation as possible on what is going on in the World Council of Churches. I'm not sure that there are many other periodicals that do that. There are at each meeting a number of public issues documents. Each meeting of the Central Committee, for we've got 12 this time around at the Assembly. And these things are worked out by experts, discussed by church leaders and church members. And they're often, more often than not, excellent. And they go unnoticed in the press.
That is the challenge, isn't it? It's
that
also how to bring these documents from the level of scholars and theologians down to the grassroots.
Yes, indeed, very much. It's more a question of motivating the members of the church members than of getting the church leadership on board. They're about as much on board as one could hope. But the church members don't always see the interest in formal ecumenics in the World Council of Churches, and we think we've got a little contribution to do on that, and I wish we weren't the only ones that are doing that. That, for me, is the main contribution that we can hope to make.
Are you hopeful at the moment? We hear talk of a new momentum, perhaps, within the ecumenical movement. Do you see that, too?
You know, we've come an awful long way, and there's so much that's going on now that would have been unthinkable 15 years ago, even 15 years ago. But it's going so quickly that you don't notice it. So spectacular changes as what we went through in the 60s. You're too young to have lived through that. But every month there was something that changed the whole outlook. We needed a period of consolidation. But there's so much that we can build on, not only in ecumenical schemes with Catholic participants. What the Protestants are doing amongst themselves is often fantastic, really marvelous, what they're doing. I'm thinking of the Leuenberg Concord, the Porvoo agreements. These are magnificent things, and they don't come over as being all that spectacular, but they're there, and we are moving toward common witness and a unity that is more visible.